flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shout out to Tyler. I didn't believe in the Lakers last night. Tyler had them, made some money.
He sure did.
And they was in there whooping that ass.
The heater continues. Hey,
Tyler made some money.
He did.
So we got Tyler
making
too. Money.
You went on Bam. Bam had 14 rebounds.
All right, I feel like I'm in the middle of something. Let me go ahead and clear out. Here we go.
Tyler!
Oh, no.
Tyler!
Oh, no. You're listening to K-A-L-T-A-M, K-A-L-T-F-M, HD2, Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station. They got some things that they need to clear up. I'm out the way. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. And right now, the drive is live.
Tyler Marquand Milner.
Yeah.
Not Marquand.
Yeah, I go black. Tyler, you told him you had room.
I know, man.
Bam had 14 rebounds. He just needed to get 9.
I genuinely feel bad.
I told you.
By half, and I was like, hell yeah, I can go to bed. I got my money.
I genuinely feel bad, man. But in my defense.
How bad do you feel?
I really do feel bad.
You did win a bunch of money the last 2 days. How bad do you feel?
I'll split my profit on that bet with you.
Hold on. You ain't got to do that. But, I mean, you can feel bad.
That's
a mistake. I wouldn't split profit.
In my defense, though, I was booking it out of here way faster than I normally do after a show because I was late to a stand-up comic. Drew Lynch was in town last night. Went and saw him. And I was very late. And I didn't want to miss the show I had tickets for, so I booked out of here. One of our listeners tweeted me late last night. He said, hey, that bet, you know, Clint tailed you on, it hit. And I was like, oh, no.
You know, we have learned from Tyler. If he doesn't place it right then and there, hey, man, it's a 50-50 shot.
Well, because I got to get out of here and out of the way for Santiago in Area 45. You know, it's moving quick. But I will split the profit with you.
I don't think you need to do that, but it's your choice.
I mean, it's my fault. I mean, if I was that serious about it, I'd go get me a damn account and do it myself. Well, so it's hard for me to get upset with Tyler.
I think you also,
even though it is some bull job.
I think you also need to learn, and you need to send a 620 text. Like a 620. Hey, man, don't forget about that.
Follow up.
Yeah, don't forget about that hundo.
I meant to get my Uber on the way to that comedy show and literally do it on my way just right when I got in, and I just somehow brain farted, man. That's my bad.
Man, it's all right, bud.
But my heater continued last night.
Yeah, but your heater continued. Woo! My man was 8 of 11 going into last night. What are you now? Is that 11 of 15?
He got at least
11 of 15 on the week, baby.
15, man.
He at least got two of them.
You got plenty of bread in that account, man. Yeah. You both slide a little bit more.
Pockets are getting deeper.
That man said, but I'm going to eat her.
Man, I'm killing it.
Let's get to it. The big story, if you're just joining us, hello. The big story, it happened. Many of you were hoping for it, and that is Bobby Slowick has been fired as the offensive coordinator. Also, Chris Strausser, the offensive line coach, he has also been let go and relieved of his duties as well. So you're starting over with those two spots that many people have been clamoring for to be changed. Less than a week after the season ended, D'Amico and the organization made the decision to move on. So I guess for me, Clint, I think I want to kick this off here with you and the people. Are you surprised, and do you agree with the move?
I'm not surprised at all. Now, look, I'll be honest. I did not think it was going to happen, but I'm not surprised. There's plenty to justify D'Amico Ryan's decision here. I mean, we're talking about an offense. It's easy to get caught up in what C.J. Stroud did last year and winning 10 games last year and being really, let's be honest, an offensive-driven team more so last year than this year. And then this year, if you look at the numbers, you laid it all out yesterday. There has been some little bit of a backslide in yards passing and a little bit backslide in total yards, but overall, you still put up 22 points a game. Your run game got better. I mean, it's easy to look at those advanced stats and really get caught up in overall production, But the reality of it is, this shouldn't surprise anybody. I mean, you know, we're 2 weeks into the season, and Bobby Slowick's still talking about trying to find an identity offensively. The same pass protection problems that kicked your ass against Minnesota early in the season reared their ugly head against the Kansas City Chiefs. In fact, I'll say it was worse than the Kansas City Chiefs because it happened in the most important drive three times in a row when you got to go score, and it was very similar issues. We've heard people talk of the display of just the lack of detail involved in the execution, and as I said yesterday, it was overall in this offense. It wasn't just critical moments. Let's not sell this thing short. It was not just critical moments. So, I mean, look, there was, again, I did not think it was going to happen, but there's plenty to justify D'Amico Ryans making this move. So this shouldn't surprise anybody, really.
No, it's not surprising. We were talking about it, and even though I've been one who said I wouldn't have done it, and it's still here for me. I don't think that it was the move. The only caveat I have is if there is an issue with the quarterback, then all bets are off, right? If you don't feel like he's the one that can work with the quarterback, for me, just from all the info we know from the outside, he's been there 2 years. And, you know, I felt like there were some clear circumstances that led to some of the issues that the offense had, along with the things that he needed to improve on. So I wouldn't have done that, but not surprising. I said it at the end of the year after that, maybe it was the Ravens game. Hey, the rest of the way, he could be coaching for his job, right? And we knew they were playing Tennessee, and they had playoff games. And if it went bad, you know, he could be coaching for his job. I said it into the Charger game. He's probably coaching for his job. So it's not surprising. To me, the other part, do I agree with it? I personally, from the info we know, don't agree with it. Now, as I said, if it's the quarterback thing, hey, all bets are off. We'll see who they bring in and what they do. But to me, I just felt like what we saw last year, I don't think the guy all of a sudden became an idiot. And I do think there were some things that he could have done better. I want to make that clear. But I think there were also some circumstances. And that's why I said on the other side with the fellas from In the Loop, is this better not be it? Because they also need to fix whoever's coming in. They need to fix some of the major problems that I think handcuff Bobby Slowick, CJ Stroud, and the rest of this offense.
Well, right, look, the agree or disagree. I don't know where I see it. The jury's still out for me because I need to see who you hire, right? I mean, I need to see who you hire because there's plenty of reason to justify moving on from Bobby Slowick. I think there was plenty of reason to justify keeping Bobby Slowick. I'll give you one example. Overall, C.J. Stroud in 2 years, he threw for 7,835 yards, 43 touchdowns, and 17 interceptions. It's a hell of a start to a career for a quarterback. I know when you're staring at what Jaden Daniels is doing in Washington right now, people want to think it's just going to happen every single year. It's rare. We've seen it twice. I didn't think I'd ever see it again. Now Jaden's doing it. It's rare, guys. And so I don't know if I agree or disagree yet, but Ron, that's what brings me to the point of with the Texans offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick being out in Houston. Number one, I absolutely love the urgency. The statement made right here, Ron, is we don't have time for the offense to wait till week 9 to figure out their identity, the quarterback to potentially backslide, the offensive coordinator to figure out whether he's the guy or not in through 3 years, right? The urgency that this move I think indicates is the way that I would hope the organization would be ran. D'Amico Ryans doesn't seem to be a guy that wants to sit around and let's play the wait and see game. And this is one of those moves. And to your point, I don't believe it stops with Bobby Slowick. If you're going to have this kind of urgency and make these kind of aggressive moves to win right now because you're in a window where you feel like you should be competing for Super Bowls, I got to believe there's going to be more to come. And I got to believe that has to do with coaches and it has to do with players as well. But the agree or disagree, the jury's still being out there, Ron. Who's the OC? Who do you have in mind? This can't be we got to move on from Bobby Slowick and then we'll just have a search and figure out who's out there. They got to have
you think they know?
Yes.
You think they better know who it is?
They better.
Before you make the move.
They better.
This wasn't just we just got to get rid of him.
No.
You got to know where you're going.
You better have somebody in-house that you just wholeheartedly believe is a surefire Grand Slam play caller. You better have somebody in one of these other systems, whether it's Minnesota or Green Bay or San Francisco, whatever, Cincinnati, whatever it may be. You better have somebody that can come in here with a similar terminology and change the game. And it is bona fide. You absolutely believe it. Or
you think he's changing the offense?
Well, that's where I'm going with this.
Yeah,
that's where I'm going with this, Ron. It better be somebody that's going to come in and keep the same terminology, probably keep the same staff, but be a game changer as an offensive coordinator, put their foot down on some of the stuff that's been allowed on the offensive side of the football and change the in-the-moment stuff. Or it better be a surefire, bona fide G of a play caller that's been in the league and done it at an extremely high level and won championships and won a lot of football games with it. If you're going to start over all the way from scratch in training camp in this win now window of CJ Stroud on that rookie contract, Will Anderson on that rookie contract, like there's got to be somebody. This can't be a fire Bobby Slowick and then we'll piddle around and search.
I want to address that part of it. The next part, Jonathan Alexander, who joined us yesterday, who just recently met with the front office members. Coaches, players, talking about the very frustrations of this offense. I think he's surprised by this move based off of conversations we had with him yesterday. We'll let him explain that. He's coming up in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. A guy who is connected with the Texans, the beat writer here for the Texans for the Chronicle, he'll join us and get his thoughts based off. This is coming from somebody who has just been in-depth conversations with members all across the organization. He'll join us coming up in a bit. You just said something there. Like, I just want you to take in what Clint just said a bit. Can you imagine Cliff Kingsbury coming back to be the Washington Commanders OC next year and then getting fired after? What happened? How bad does it have to get? Just think about that. What Jaden Daniels is doing this year, what that offense is doing. Imagine, because it's basically what they did last year with CJ.
Yeah. It's a tad better given they won in the division. From a rookie quarterback, the points. Yeah.
And they're, the Texans won the division. They're in the NFC Championship game. But like, what would have to happen for Cliff to get fired next year? Like, how bad did this thing get, Cliff?
I've said from jump it's a lot worse than they want. It's a lot worse than the box score would say, and it's a lot worse than they want to go. They want to stand up there in front of the media in every post game and tell people it is. It's a lot worse than that. They're not close, Ron. We keep hearing we're close, and all we got to do is execute. Those are piss poor responses and piss poor answers from Bobby Slowick as well as D'Amico Ryans.
They're
right?
All fixable.
Yeah. There you go. It's all fixable. There's another one. They weren't. Sure. I guess theoretically it's you can fix protection, but you'd have to have five guys doing totally different, six if you count Dalton Schultz, doing totally different things better than they are, and it was not fixable. So the part that gets me is I was never under the impression that Bobby Slowick was pulling all the strings.
That's fair.
I thought
from play calling to
all of it,
decisions. I damn sure don't think that he was the one jumping and saying, "Hey, I just want Kenyon Green."
Yeah.
That's all I want, baby.
Yeah, great
help.
Point. Yeah.
No
yeah.
help. Yeah, yeah, dog. Baby, just give me Kenyon.
I don't think he said go out and give me Shaq Mason and we're gonna roll this thing out.
Resign him.
Right. You know, I want
Dalton Schultz. I know I just spent all my time with George Kittle. This is what I want.
Yeah.
I want
yeah. So I don't think that Bobby Slowick and look, with the good guys too, I don't think Bobby Slowick said you better draft CJ Stroud. I don't think Bobby Slowick said, "Hey, Joe Mixon is my guy. Go get Joe Mixon." This can't be a firing of one guy like this is. I'm trying to think of a defensive minded head coach like Liam Cohen, who just got a job with Jacksonville after the year. You just fire a guy like that with a defensive minded head coach, and maybe Liam Cohen wasn't the best example, but you know, I'll give you one: the national championship, Ohio State up there with
Ryan Day.
But who's the OC? Kelly. Chip Kelly, right? This isn't a Chip Kelly that Chip Kelly was brought in, and they all the offense is yours, man. This is on you. You control everything. What O-line coach you want? What wide receiver coach you want? How do you want to structure this thing? Like, Bobby Slowick was just a piece of it. So this, to me, this can't be the end-all, be-all. There's got to be more to it. Again, whether that's coaches or players, we'll see. But there's got to be more to it. And there's got to be there's got to be a bona fide G that they've locked in on, and this is the guy we're bringing in.
And I'll say this here. In my opinion, for D'Amico, and I know Tyler and I, we've gone back and forth on this. In between one of the breaks, I talked to Lopez about this. To me, this can't be a Gerard Johnson move. And
to me, it is going to be a Gerard Johnson move.
Well, that
prediction wise, I mean, I don't know anything.
That to me is a hell of a thought, because a couple of things. One, if Gerard Johnson was always the answer or the guy that you really wanted, that the guy you really wanted. Well, hell, there was some moments. Then why don't you just fire him and let him take over then? Two, if the Houston Texans, and I know this fan base has the expectations, right? And I said it to Tyler before the show, and he said it, yes, getting to the AFC Championship game at the very least. If that is the expectation and what you want this team to get to go bring in a guy who has no experience putting together an offense or calling plays, with those expectations, if you just fired a guy who was a year removed from being one of the hottest head coaching candidates, and help turn this thing around with your offense and C.J. Stroud in 2 years, and then you bring somebody in that doesn't have any experience calling plays or putting together an offense, that's a hell of a look for a team that is going to try to get past the Chiefs, to try to get past the Bills, to try to get past the Ravens.
Yep.
Like, as you said, if they got somebody in mind, it probably should be somebody that is established, somebody that has had great success in the league. So, like,
well, look, to me, if there was somebody in the building that was a surefire, this is the guy we're moving to.
We've seen him already.
Well, we wouldn't have had the same problems against the Chiefs that we had against the Minnesota Vikings. There is it was a collective effort on the offensive side of the football. If figuring out a protection, I'm sure wasn't. Hey man, we're having protection problems. How we gonna figure this out? I'm sure Bobby Slowick and Chris Strouser didn't lock everybody out and say, no, it's just us two. Right? If there's somebody in that building that has the ability to call plays at a Super Bowl level, that has the ability to scheme up and solve problems that we saw throughout the year with the Texans, if they've been in that building and those problems haven't been solved, I gotta question the ability to solve those problems by somebody in the building. I think this is an aggressive move. And I think it screams somebody from the outside is coming in.
I would think.
And somebody from the outside is coming in that's got pelts on the wall. Somebody from the outside is coming in that is going to decide, not D'Amico's not going to do it. They are going to decide, do you want to keep Gerard Johnson as the quarterback coach? Do you want to keep Ben McDaniel as the wide receiver coach? Do you want to keep the running backs coach? This is your call. And damn it, when the rubber meets the road, it's going to be on you. C.J. Stroud is a pocket passer. C.J. Stroud cannot be the most pressured quarterback. And by the way, he's a high-level processing pocket passer. He can't be the most pressured quarterback in the NFL. Can't be. It can't happen.
Now, I will say this, Tyler. There's no word that they have parted ways with Gerard Johnson, so there is a sign there.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the report is the O-line coach and the assistant O-line coach are out with Slowick.
That's correct.
Then the report after that is everybody else is going to stay in place, and the next offensive coordinator will decide if they want to keep him or not.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had to get them to. They are clearly saying it's you two.
Gig them, Gerard.
That it is your fault. Like, you are the scapegoat. Everybody else will have an opportunity, but you two are rolling out. All right, coming up to give us more info on this, Jonathan Alexander. We had him on yesterday. He has had big, serious conversations with a lot of people in that building about this offense. I wonder, is he surprised by this move? We'll talk to him coming up.
Nobody works hard in Bobby Slowick.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. The big news, Bobby Slowick. He has been relieved of his duties along with Chris Strauser, the offensive line coach, as well as the assistant offensive line coach. Those moves have been made, and we are now joined. Let's go to the phone line. Phone lines to our guy, Jonathan Alexander, who can't stay away from us. He was here with us yesterday, who covers the Texans for the Chronicle. And I think it's good to have you on today because, you know, you just recently kind of did a deep dive and had some serious conversations with a lot of people within the organization, specifically about this offense. And I'm just wondering, recently with those conversations, Jonathan, did you get the vibe that this is where they were headed in making a move with Slowick?
Yeah, I was looking at the longer it took for DeMeco to make a decision, the more likely it was going to head in the direction that he was going to part ways with Slowick. And through talking to sources in the building, you know, ultimately it came down to DeMeco saying that he felt like he had put a strong defense out on the field, a defense good enough to win a Super Bowl. And they gave the offense plenty of pieces, and the offense just didn't live up to those expectations. The offense underperformed and regressed when they felt like it shouldn't have.
What do you feel is the move here? Let's talk about on the front end of this. Bobby Slowick, the O-line coach, the assistant O-line coach, obviously gone. Do you think that's where it stops, or do you think there's more in the building that end up getting relieved of their duties?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, Chris Strauser was relieved of his duties, and we all expect that. We knew that was coming. You know, I think anytime you hire a new OC, you know, they'll have a say over who they want in their staff, and then some of the current staff members may not want to, you know, coach under the new OC, whoever that is. So I think it definitely has the potential to be, you know, a lot of new faces on the offensive side of the building. But as of right now, we know that Slowick and Strauser is gone.
Yeah, I mean, with that, when you say a lot of new faces, I mean, and I said this on the other side, Jonathan Alexander covers the Texans for the Chronicle, joins us, is to me, if these guys are made to be the guys that are the reason, it should be more than that, right? And you said it could be some new faces. Do you feel pretty good about the fact that they will have other guys that probably won't be here, other guys that are pretty high, you know, positioned with this offense not being here after this season?
Yeah, I don't know exactly who would be gone, but I'm sure that whoever is the OC, and I think it's also possible that you could see Gerard Johnson become the OC. But whenever that person takes hold, they'll do a full evaluation of the coaching staff. And they'll look at which areas struggled the most and which areas have consistently struggled. And they'll probably hire new guys who they like, who they have experience with, and they'll probably replace the areas of struggle. I think the primary focus this offseason is going to be on offense and how they can fix it and how they can get to Super Bowl level to match what the defense was able to do.
Well, you mentioned Gerard Johnson, and to me this is a move where, look, like, you don't relieve a guy of his duty, of his job like this, and change terminology and start over from scratch. We've heard DeMeco, we've heard this coaching staff talk about how different it is when you go year one, year two, year three, and you have that head start offensively. Like, and I'm not saying it's not well worth it and justified, but when you do make that move, I would think moving on from a guy that coached a quarterback and called plays for a quarterback to throw for damn near 8,000 yards and 40-some-odd touchdowns and a handful of interceptions, I got to think that you got a pretty good idea of who you're going to replace him with and kind of how you're going to change this offense versus just go out there and, hey, we're going to have a search here and see if we can't find the best offensive mind to take his place. Just your thoughts on, do you think it's somebody they got a pretty good eye on, or do you think it's an open job?
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about this a little bit off the air after the show yesterday. You know, you don't make this move unless you have an idea of what direction you want to go to, unless you know who you could potentially target, unless you know the guys who are likely to probably take the job. Like, you don't make this move without having some sense of surety that you're going to get a good candidate. So, I believe that they have a general idea of a handful of candidates that they probably want to go after. And they'll again gauge the interest of those candidates, and they'll choose the best one who they think will give them the best chance to win next season.
I want to, before we get you out, Jonathan, appreciate you jumping on with us. And I think Clint kind of hinted towards this. Do you think there is at least a chance or some sort of likelihood that they go outside of this Shanahan, McVay, this offense, Kubiak, this offense, that they go completely in a different direction? Or do you think this is an offense that they will stay within that family like they've had in San Francisco or L.A. or the other offenses that run that?
That's a great question. I don't know the exact answer to that. I think that they're open right now. I think they're open to staying within a similar type of style and system and try to keep some type of continuity with CJ Stroud, because they understand how important continuity is. Having said that, if the best candidate is somebody else, like a Chip Kelly, if the best candidate who has a different type of offense, then they would definitely be open to that if they think that makes the right fit. Now, of course, I'm sure that they'll get some insight from CJ Stroud and what he thinks about it, and I'm sure that'll play a part in it as well. But I think they're open to all possibilities.
Real quick before we get you out, I know it's really early in the process. Outside of Jerod Johnson, are there any other names that you're potentially hearing that could be connected with the position?
Yeah, I mean, as far as who I think make the most logical sense, you know, I got a story coming out pretty soon. But I think, you know, Jerod Johnson makes a lot of sense. Chip Kelly could be somebody. Mike LaFleur, Rams offensive coordinator, as well as a guy like even Josh McCown, I think could make sense. Now, whether the Texans would go to him considering the history they have with him, I don't know. But I think those names in particular probably make the most sense. And Clint Kubiak as well. It was another name I forgot.
All right. Appreciate you joining us, Jonathan, as we're trying to get everything we can on this situation with Bobby Slowick. Moving on, we appreciate you.
Absolutely, I appreciate you having me.
All right, that is Jonathan Alexander, Chronicle. As he said, he's got a story coming out. Clint Kubiak, Mike LaFleur.
Houston loves some Cubes.
Yeah, Jerod Johnson, obviously, also set in there. We'll see. We'll see if those are some of the names we start hearing. All right, there's another big story. We will hear from Tony Gwynn Jr. We'll get his thoughts on this with the Astros coming up. But this Alex Bregman situation is continuing. Bob Nightingale was actually on Area 45 and gave some insight on it. Whew, this Alex Bregman thing, potentially coming back. How are you feeling about a potential return of Alex Bregman? We'll discuss
that. So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
The idea of bringing back Alex Bregman, we're talking about that six-year, $156 million type range, if we're talking about bringing back Alex Bregman.
Yep, that's it.
All right.
Yeah, so that's the, I mean, that contract is still on the table. And I don't think the Astros are going to budge from it. And we'll see. You could get more per year by somebody else. Could somebody else give him more in 6 years? I'm not sure about that, or he probably would have already signed it. So I think Alex would like to come back, and I think they'd really like to have him back. So certainly, they reengaged a couple days ago. Maybe it was yesterday, and said, "Hey, don't give up on this. Let it, almost like let us know if you're about to sign somewhere."
All right, that is Bob Nightingale, USA Today. He was on with the fellas last night from Area 45. You can listen to that in its entirety on the podcast page. What's your thoughts about hearing that? That this is a mutual thing, the Astros, what he said, would love to have him back?
This makes me think of Lloyd Christmas.
Really? You're saying there's a chance, huh? But they've made all these moves that would say we've moved on from it, and they've said it. What's your feelings about how this is coming about, a potential reunion with everything that's happened?
Look, I'm here for it. I mean, I'm here for Bregman being an Astro, especially if it's at the original number and contract offer that Kraft offered him, and it's not the Astros budging all of a sudden. And look, if Bobby Two Chainz is spot on here, if we are to believe that he's accurate, it's not hard to make it make sense for Bregman. I mean, the money's, yeah, while the thought is that he could get 30 million per somewhere else, he's offered 26 here, that's 4 mil per year. Like, that's a lot of money, but it's also, when you're talking 26, 27 million a year, that additional year is a big number as well. And in baseball, it's all guaranteed money. So it would make sense where I could see Bregman saying, "I got it pretty good here. The clubhouse is right here. I'm comfortable here. My family's comfortable here. The money is very similar, although you got to figure the 6 year versus a shorter kind of deal, and you got to do some juggling there. But it's not like it's a no brainer like most of us thought it was going to be with Alex Bregman. So I think when you talk about the offer, like, it's not crazy if you're Bregman to think, "Hey, let's just ease back into Houston where we know it's right now." I think the thought of Altuve playing left field is plumb ass silly.
Well, yeah, that's the part we got to get to now. All right, if you bring him in, that's what I'm saying. You've made the plans of how you're going to construct this baseball team. All right, and we'll get to that. Tyler, does this excite you? You've been wanting Bregman back, but does this excite you with how it is?
Yeah, I've been in a weird place for like a year with Bregman, because there's definitely
sexually or just.
No, not sexually. Okay. No, he's just not my type. Mm. But I've been in a weird place.
Short legs.
Wait, just say, yeah, stubby ass legs.
Said he's been in a weird place. Yeah. I didn't know if he meant
I bet he's got a bumpy ass butt, too.
His short legs. I mean,
he's probably got red bumps on his butt. No, but for real. Been in a weird place with Bregman, because there has definitely been moments over the last year where, I mean, I've just been ready for them to trade him and get some sort of value back for that third baseman. But the way things have unfolded right now with everything, yeah, I'd welcome Breg back with open arms. I would just also tell him, "Hey, need you to wake the hell up before July gets here and use your bat in the batter's box the first 2 months of the season, please." Yeah.
I mean, Ron, you're not going to like this, Ron, but
well, how do you know that?
Well, because I know. We've talked about it before. The Altuve to left field stuff is silly, and we've talked about, well, it's a short porch to left field for all the home games, and all right, guys. I mean, let's be real about
this. That's some other tough left field.
What? Yeah, right. You don't play every game at home. let's be honest here. This screams, again, if Bobby Two Chainz is right and the Astros are entertaining this, this screams Yordan Alvarez in left field and a floating DH. It's the only way you can make sense of it. Altuve going to left field is silly. I mean, right? When I hear that,
going to go out there with stilts or whatever he's going to do. I don't know. A guy that you've been trying to get in and out with his health.
Yeah,
arm to the plate, that arm,
the whole thing. This just screams Yordan Alvarez is going to play left field and your DH is going to float. Now, the Astros will navigate the regular season the way they navigate the regular season, like it's a long season and they're good enough to get there and they can make some moves that are more about getting, load management and getting there than it is necessarily playing your best guys. We've seen them do that at all kind of positions. Look how they used the DH last year. I mean, look how they did first base last year, right? With Diaz and Alvarez and all these other guys in the DH role or catching or playing first. And like,
And this comes for you who just like, give me that lineup.
Yeah, no.
For you, give me that lineup, but then you can.
Well, that's the part of it that I absolutely love is like, yeah, just
if you're going to do that.
Yeah, you get your best bats up there, and what does that do? You mentioned it yesterday, Ron. Like, hey, sorry guys, but that outfield, them bats in that outfield, that lineup doesn't support the pitch, the rotation, and the bullpen that you got.
I don't think they can carry that.
They can't carry it. Well, you, all of a sudden you put Yordan in left, and you put Altuve and Bregman and Isak as your floating DHs. All of a sudden, you've lengthened that lineup a little bit, and now they maybe can carry that bullpen or carry some slow points in the season. But well, that to me is the only way,
well,
right?
Well, here's Bobby. There's Bobby. Bobby gives an explanation on how he could see the defense aligning if Bregman comes back.
Well, Paredes has played a number of games at second base. Oh, I want to say over 50 games at second base in his career. So the easy thing would be move Paredes to second base, move Jose Altuve to left field. Someone's got to play left field. And you can mix and match, too. Like, okay, yeah, maybe Paredes there sometimes, Altuve there other times. You know, that sort of thing, you know, where they can kind of bounce around. But it makes no sense to move Bregman out of the third base position because he's a Gold Glover.
The man said, hey, but it makes sense to move Altuve to left. My man said, somebody got to play left field.
Yeah! I mean, that can't be the case.
But this is my biggest issue with all of it is – the thing, like, yeah, Bregman coming back, okay, who is just like I you've said this a lot, like, hey man, I can understand a lot of things, I may have to agree with it, but I want it, like, all right, you got a plan, let's hear the plan. What is the plan?
Right,
you just fired it up into the air. Like, we got the plan. Like, all right, you said, all right man, guys, we're gonna give a deadline to Bregman. If he doesn't do it, bam, now we're gonna make moves. All right, we went and got Christian Walker. He's going to play first. We got Paredes. He's going to play third. This is what we're going to do. Now, all of a sudden, now you willing, how much is the money? 160 or something? Now you willing to unload that to get Bregman to now try to figure out what the hell? Because the plan was, we want Yordan Alvarez to DH more because we want to keep him healthy. That was a part of the original plan. Now you just thrown up a plan up into the air to now give him 6 years? Like, for me, again, if you are now willing to give him 6 years, 160 or whatever it is, well, how come you wouldn't have been willing to go give an outfielder money?
Yeah.
Like, if you could give that, like, I'm not saying maybe you didn't want Santander, but he went for 5 years, 90. Like, I'm not saying that was it. Profar didn't go for this much. What is the plan?
That would have made more sense,
you know what I mean?
Right?
Yeah. Like, the plan can't be that you're 30-whatever-year-old second baseman who went through a postseason of having the yips of throwing it from second to first to go and play left field, and your guy who has been a corner infielder and a power hitter, go, if you've not taken a look at Paredes, there's really not a lot about Paredes that says second base and turning two, right? Like, not saying he can't. He's played 50 games. Yeah, there. But that could not have been the plan to, oh man, this guy's gonna play corner infield, man. We're gonna slide him over in second base while we have a guy who plays second base in left field. Like, that's just my thing is, what is the plan? And like someone texted in, relax, it's all for clicks. Like, this is more than Bobby. This is something that at least is out.
Yeah, I hope it's not all for clicks. Now I hope the Altuve stuff is for clicks, but I hope it's not all for clicks. I mean, I agree with Ron's point of like, hey man, that now your plan was with Paredes and Christian Walker and moving on from Bregman, whatever it was, now bringing Bregman back into the fold, you potentially blow that up and you have to change course significantly, especially again if you listen to 2 Chainz about Altuve in the outfield. But you know, man. I mean, the value of Bregman. I mean, clearly this organization thinks highly of Bregman. Well,
Their best player does. He's so willing that he said, I'll go to left field. Like, Jose, I don't give a damn what you're willing to do. You're not going to go play left field.
You think he can reach home plate on a crow hop?
Well, in all seriousness, if there's one positive to this crazy-ass idea, it is – how little a space there is, that short porch out and left. I mean, I'm not saying this should happen. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Right. The silver lining here is that we've seen how the Astros operate and ultimately how several teams operate is it's not crazy if you're just talking about a path to get to the playoffs. But if we're talking about the option is get to the playoffs, and this is an option, we're silly, right? I mean, ultimately, the plan has to be you get to the playoffs. It's Jordan and left, and you float the DH. I mean, that can't be they can't be serious about this.
Look, I just this is just weird to me. Like they've gone from they've gone from an organization like, all right, man, we're out on Kyle Tucker. We're going to trade him, and then we're going to make these plans to, all right, bring in Paredes. Right? Didn't that come with a top third base prospect? Like was the top thing in the deal.
That guy can play outfield as well, though.
Okay, but I mean they brought that in as a part. Like, all right, we're making the move pass. Bregman. Now the willing and the thought is we're gonna bring back Bregman for another six. Like how did that change in Swift? And the way you said it, the only way it works is Jordan being the left fielder.
That's it. I mean, that's.
But then again, as I said,
that solves a lot of problems.
That just punts away the plan that you have, right? Like, I don't know. We'll see, man. I just. Like, this thing is, all right, baby, we could flip on a dime, baby, on the plan here. We'll see what happens here. I just, interesting decision. We'll talk to our guy, Tony Gwynn Jr., our 6'10 MLB insider, get his thoughts on the Bregman. I can't wait. In my mind, I hear Tony going, all right, man, what you think about Jose Altuve in left field? I can hear some noise that is going to be made prior to him answering that question. But we'll get his thoughts on the Astros coming up as we get back here live on The Drive.
Is Braggy being ridiculous?